Hey, what's up? This is Chris Gray, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
And it's Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
We are into the fourth minute in the game between Portugal and Ghana, and Africa's quest for their opening goal at the Qatar 2022 World Cup continues. It's been four matches. Senegal in action, Morocco in action, Tunisia in action, Cameroon in action, and still there have been no goals. Hopefully the black stars of Ghana will shine against Portugal. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to ZFM Sport. In the studio, your favorite team of pundits, Chris Meadzi, our producer, Sean Tafirinyika. My name is Mike Madoda. And a bit later on, we should be joined by Alois Bunjira, the former Warriors and Mamelodi Sundowns striker. You can expect more sports news on the home front, where after clinching the season-opening Pro 50 Championship earlier this month, Mountaineers will be keen to carry their form to the long version of the game in Zimbabwe's premier first-class cricket competition, the Logan Cup, which began today. We'll have international sports news for you, and we'll do a wrap-up of a notable tennis season where Carlos Alcaraz and Rafael Nadal ended the year first and second in the ATP rankings, while on the WTA Tour, Iga Świątek and finished the year a dominant number one. Also take you around the world in 60.
In the beautiful game, Belgian coach Roberto Martinez says he was happy with what he called a deserved 1-0 win over Canada in a World Cup match he described as the worst technical performance of his six-year tenure. In tonight's action, a second-half strike from Breel Embolo fired Switzerland to a narrow 1-0 victory over Cameroon in their World Cup opener, as the Indomitable Lions suffered an eighth straight defeat in the competition dating back to 2002. And tonight, Brazil will aim to start their campaign on a strong note when they take on Serbia at the Lusail Stadium.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Give you a local sports news wrap, starting off with some golf news, where Zimbabwe professional golfers Avizita Maphanya and Robson Chinoy are leading the pack at the Malawi Open Golf Championship after day two of the tournament. Maphanya is in his first position with a gross total of 136 points, 8 under par, and Chinoy has a gross total of 139 points and 5 under par in second position. Head over to some rugby news. Bulawayo Metropolitan Rugby Football Board is set to host a Sevens Rugby Festival at the city ceremonial home of Rugby Hartsfield Rugby Ground that will feature different schools as well as clubs from across the country next Saturday. Named the Unforgettable Sevens Rugby Festival after the board partnered with the corporate giants Unforgettable, the tournament will bring a close to the city's rugby season. And we'll finish off with some netball news, where Zimbabwe will get to know their opponents at next year's Netball World Cup, where as the draw for the 2023 Netball World Cup has been set for next Wednesday in South Africa. World Netball revealed that the latest World Netball rankings confirming the seeding of the 16 teams taking part in the World Cup. Zimbabwe is ranked 13th.
The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
Now, after clinching the season-opening Pro 50 Championship earlier this month, Mountaineers will be keen to carry their form to the longer version of the game in Zimbabwe's premier first-class cricket competition, the Logan Cup, which began today. Mountaineers began their campaign with a clash against Rhinos at Harare Sports Club in a potential thriller. Now, stumps on day one. Mashonaland Eagles, 335 for 2 in 63.3 overs, and And of course, that is Craig Irvine, 138, not out. Chamuchi Baba is on 111, not out. Brian Mdzinganyama has picked up the solitary wicket, 1 for 16. And then, of course, the game that I was talking about, Rhinos and Mountaineers. Rhinos 280 in 62.5 overs. Kyron Carlson, 90, not out. Jonathan Campbell, 50. And then for the Mountaineers, Donald Tiripano taking 4 for 57. Victor Nyauchi, 3 for 65. The Mountaineers in reply, 58 for 2. Spencer Magodo, 26, not out. Tony Munyonga is on 13, not out. And Trevor Gwandu has picked up a wicket for the Rhinos, 1 for 15. So the Mountaineers are trailing by 222 runs in that game. And you've got to say that the Rhinos will be happy that they picked up two wickets for 58, and having set 280, they'll feel that, you know what, they may have a slight edge on day one.
Definitely. When you're taking a look at that total of 280, definitely not an easy total to chase, first of all. But I think in the first, on day one, being able to take those two wickets, I think is going to be very, very key for the Rhinos if they're going to maintain their hold in this tournament.
Absolutely. And of course, that is the cricket that is happening. And you've got to say that you've got to be happy with the work that Zimbabwe cricket is doing. I know we sort of like had a very underwhelming finish to the T20 World Cup, but on the whole, we've always talked about local cricket, domestic cricket, local competition being the foundation on which we can build on. And it's nice to see that there's action and there's cricket action regularly in Zimbabwe at the moment.
It's an absolutely critical piece. Even if we say that we want to be able, you know, to go down into the structures to ensure that there's a pipeline, the pipeline has to have somewhere to end up eventually. And one of those places is when you're taking a look at our local schedule here. A lot of cricket being played. The Logan Cup at the moment, just before that was the Pro 50 Championship as well. So we're getting a good amount of cricket being played. And I think what I like about this especially is that it's cricket being played right across the country.
Yeah.
So there's no area in which the cricket is not being played. And what that does is, first of all, garners the fan bases because you've got a good spread of the action. And also you are able to then take talent from various places. I think a lot of the time talent is kind of concentrated in your metro,
well, Harare.
Harare and Bulawayo.
Harare.
In this tournament, we're going to be seeing action at Kwekwe Sports Club, Mutare Sports Club. So that definitely does a lot to get a lot more players involved, but also garner a lot more interest from those communities.
Oh, well, let's give you that Logan Cup schedule. Defending champions Tuskers will have to wait longer before starting off their title defense, as they're set to only join in proceedings during the second round of fixtures that are scheduled between November 29 and the 2nd of December, where they'll face Rocks at Old Hararians Sports Club. On the same weekend, Rhinos will host Eagles at Kwekwe Sports Club. Action will then move to Bulawayo and Mutare for the third round of fixtures, with Tuskers set to host Rhinos at Queen's Sports Club, while Mountaineers will be banking on home advantage when they tackle Eagles at Mutare Sports Club from December 8 to December 11. Then the last round of fixtures before the festive holidays will have been slated for December 15 to 18, which will see Southern Rocks hosting Mountaineers at Mashingo Sports Club, while Eagles will take on rivals Tuskers at Bulawayo Athletic Club. The final round of fixtures is set for February 15 through to the 18th in the year 2023. And following the conclusion of the first class season in February, players will feature for Southern's and Northern's provincial sides in 3 4-day matches. I love that concept, you know, which is the best of the North versus the best of the South. It's a higher level of competition.
Yep.
And again, it's just ways that I think Zimbabwe cricket is trying to come up with just to make sure that our players remain battle hardened.
Yeah.
And also almost a sifting process to see who can stand up to the rigors of more competitive action.
I wouldn't even call it a sifting process. I would say that this puts a bit more pressure on those teams to perform, because now it's not just taking a look at, you know, the team that you're playing in, but those, it creates a bit of a rivalry, yeah, as it were. It creates a nice little undercurrent there, and I think it's going to be very, very critical for our players to remain in form. I think when we go out to these tournaments, it's very easy to sometimes take a look at the players and we see that they're not game ready. This from Zimbabwe cricket is great because it ensures that throughout a year our cricketers are consistently playing cricket.
0731 168 0045, that's our WhatsApp platform. Get in touch with us with your thoughts. If you're a cricket fan, are you loving the development defence at Zimbabwe cricket, at least the consistency that we're beginning to see from Zimbabwe cricket, both on and off the field. We may not be back where we used to be or where we love to think of ourselves as belonging, but certainly we are making strides to make sure that cricket is being played in the country competitively so, and we're producing competitive national teams that are able to trouble the best in the world. Quick breather, and when we come back, we'll be going international with our sports news.
Bring them. Great.
Turn it up.
We're turning up the beat.
I just need
your hit music station.
Let's go.
I'm no good at goodbye.
For hit music, it's ZFM.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play.
We are into the 19th minute of the game between Ghana and Portugal, and it remains goalless. Portugal, you've got to say, are edging it as far as ball possession is concerned, but Ghana very compact, very well organized, and looking very dangerous whenever they get on the ball. So it's a very interesting opening stanza to this game between Portugal and Ghana. And of course, both teams, Chris, with the potential to top the group after that goalless draw between Korea and Uruguay early on.
Yeah, all to play for in this game. I think when you're taking a look at, especially when you're taking a look at Ghana, Ghana's got to do it for Africa now, I think. No goals scored by Africa so far, so Ghana has to do it. But I think my concern is that we always have these decent, great starts from our African teams, but as soon as we get to that 75th minute, things start to fall apart a little bit. But I'm liking how they are defensively, and I'm hoping that they can carry this through throughout the game.
Yeah, they're just are great. They remain compact. They're keeping those lines, and they're managing, of course, to press the Portuguese team. And also, I think, committing some very clever tactical fouls whenever the Portuguese side get in and behind them. We'll be giving you, of course, updates of that game and building up to tonight's match between Brazil and Serbia a bit later on. Right now, let's talk tennis, where Carlos Alcaraz and Rafael Nadal end the year first and second in the 18th rankings. The first time Spain has had the top two in the final standings. The Spanish duo captured three of the four Grand Slam titles. Teenager Alcaraz won the US Open, and Nadal took the Australian and French crowns. Novak Djokovic won Wimbledon. Now, tennis legend Jim Courier says Rafa Nadal had the better season compared to Alcaraz, despite missing out on the year-end number one ranking.
I think the one that you want, the year that you want, is Nadal's. You want those two majors above anything when you're talking at this level. All things considered, they all played awfully well. There's just a lot to consider this year, a lot more than normal. But Rafa with two, and who's to say he wouldn't have put a good test in the finals of Wimbledon had he been healthy enough to get there against Novak? We'll never know.
Yeah.
He had a great season.
I think it goes without saying that he had a great season. And I think in many ways Nadal will look back at Wimbledon and he'll sort of like think, you know what, to be ruled out as a result of injury when he was really playing arguably the best tennis that he's played at Wimbledon for a very long time. I think he'll rue that. But before the year started, you told him that you were going to win two Grand Slams. I think you'd have been happy with that.
Yeah, I think you'd have been pretty happy with that. I think when we're taking a look at these players, yes, we love to look at their previous form, but these players are getting to their twilight years. So when they get into these tournaments, when they do well, when they can potentially do well in a tournament, and I think especially with Wimbledon, the number of contenders that were not there for Wimbledon, I think it would have been a prime opportunity for him, and also an opportunity to get that record and ensure that he's able to hold that record against Novak Djokovic, who also doesn't seem like he's going to be slowing down anytime soon.
And of course, Nadal will enter 2023 seeking to add to his record 22 Grand Slam titles titles. Though, of course, like Chris pointed out, he is pursued by Novak Djokovic, who is just one behind his great rival. Djokovic finishing fifth in the year's rankings, but of course he finished with a bit of a flourish by winning a record-equaling sixth ATP Finals trophy. Is that what 2023 will be about? I mean, in terms of a broad theme in men's tennis, will it be about that? You know, race for greatness, race for the goatness between Nadal and Djokovic.
I think it definitely will. And I think also because Roger Federer has excused himself from the race.
He's too old now.
Yeah. So I think now we've got a two-horse race. It pits the rivalry very well. I think when you're taking a look at these two players, especially how they're going to be entering 2023, every single, especially the Grand Slam tournaments, are going to be incredibly fire-packed. Djokovic himself, I think, is also ruining the opportunities that he's had to miss because of his stance in terms of vaccination. So I think going into 2023, he wants to win as many as possible in a shorter time as possible, just to ensure that he also manages to close that gap in terms of the Grand Slam record.
Yeah, but I think the difference this time is that there are a number of young players now who are at their level, who I don't think the Grand Slams will be all about Djokovic and Nadal. Alcaraz has already shown that, especially on the hard courts, he's able to compete as well as clay, so he'll certainly be a factor as far as that race for goldness is concerned. Let's take a look at the WTA Tour, which is, of course, on the women's side. Poland's Iga Świątek may have failed to add the WTA Finals title to her French and US Open crowns, but finished the year a dominant number one in the women's tennis rankings. It is the first time she has finished on top of the year-end rankings. Let's hear from her.
It's pretty crazy. I kind of, it's hard for me to handle all of that and, like, summarize it, because I felt like I started the season 10 years ago, and I'm so proud of myself that I could, you know, be ready on every tournament and give my all, and be able to be kind of fresh mentally and physically, even on the last one. It's the season that I wouldn't even dream of, so yeah.
Well, women's tennis has teased us, hasn't it, Chris? Over the last sort of like 3 years, we've thought that there were a number of players who were coming through who had the potential to dominate the sport. Yeah. At one time, we were all crowing about Naomi Osaka and how she was the next one. But we have seen signs with Iga Świątek that she may have the consistency needed to stay at the top.
Yeah, and I think that's what's different about her is that consistency. The other players that have popped up, you talked about Naomi Osaka, young lady from the US whose face I can see in my head and I cannot.
Yeah, but a number,
Ashley Barty. All these players, what they're able to do is they break in and they impress in one particular tournament. But what we don't see after that is the consistency in their play. I think Iga Świątek finishing in number one is in no short part a result of how consistent she's been across the entire season. When you're taking a look at not just popping up at tournaments, but I think she's won how many? Eight out of nine of the tournaments.
That's big game temperament.
That is big game temperament. Yeah. And also she's won 37 consecutive matches from February 22nd until July the 2nd as well. And that's the longest winning streak on the WTA Tour this century. So interesting stats there for her. And it's better actually than Serena Williams and Venus Williams as well. So that consistency, when you're taking a look at the next GOAT, we have to take a look at consistency, because I think in terms of power, in terms of all the other metrics, when you're taking a look at the women's side, the players are not that different. But when you're taking a look at who can run on and be consistent and be solid, Iga Świątek, I think, has definitely put a hand up.
All right, so Iga Świątek, she won the French Open and the US Open. Wimbledon was won by Elena Rybakina, and Australian Open was won by Ashley Barty. Those were your big women's on the women's side. Let's take a look at the final rankings, starting with the men. Of course, Carlos Alcaraz finishing in first place, Rafael Nadal in second, Casper Ruud in third, Stefanos Tsitsipas of Greece in fourth, Novak Djokovic in fifth, Felix Auger-Aliassime in sixth, Daniil Medvedev in seventh, Andrei Rublev in eighth, Taylor Fritz in ninth, and Hubert Hurkacz finished in 10th place. For the women, Iga Świątek in 1st, Ons Jabeur of Tunisia in 2nd, Jessica Pegula of America in 3rd, Caroline Garcia of France in 4th, Arina Sabalenka in 5th, Maria Sakkari in 6th, Coco Gauff in 7th, Daria Kasatskina in 8th, Veronika Kudermetova in 9th, and Simona Halep of Romania finished in 10th place.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carrillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to
ZFM Stereo, sport and a whole lot more. See.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We'll take off in Germany, where Toto Wolff has confirmed Mercedes' interest in signing Mick Schumacher as a reserve driver because the German just fits with the team. Mike, your thoughts on that one?
I like it's a brand fit.
Yeah.
Certainly. There's no running away. He's got the name. He is German. And going to Mercedes, which is a German team, only makes sense. So from a brand perspective, from a talent perspective, I also think it works because he is talented enough not to be a number one or two, but certainly to learn from the two that are there right now.
Schumacher is the son of seven-time world champion Michael, who spent his final three seasons of Formula One, of his Formula One career with Mercedes, and is set to become a free agent after losing his Haas seat to Nico Hülkenberg for the 2023 season. In England, Jofra Archer has set his sight firmly on next year's 50-over World Cup after making his return from injury. Elbow problems and a stress fracture to his back have kept Archer sidelined since March, but he had a solid showing on his first outing yesterday, bowling 9 overs as the Lions took on England across two spells. And also starting in the United States, where LA Clippers forward Kawhi Leonard is feeling better, but head coach Ty Lue said there's currently no timetable for his return from a right ankle sprain. The Clippers lost to the Golden State Warriors without their two best players, Leonard and Paul George, who missed his second straight game with a right hamstring tendon strain. Lue said the Clippers also have no timetable for when George will return.
The big leagues, the big teams, the big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport. Jogo Bonito, Tiki Taka, Total Football. It's a football celebration where only the best are invited. Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Benzema. The stars come out to play on your Qatar 2022 World Cup update on ZFM Sport.
The stars certainly have come out to play. The Black Stars of Ghana, they're in action versus Portugal at the moment. And it's a 34th in the 34th minute, and it remains a goalless. Portugal with the upper hand, but Ghana playing on the counter, and of course managing to hold their own, but started to commit one or two fouls there. The foul count there, Chris, is now perhaps they're running it up, and they don't want to give Portugal more and more fouls in and around the 18 area because we know how lethal or how good Ronaldo is in the air.
And he was pointing in the air.
Put it up there.
So I think it's... The Black Stars are going to have to do something to ensure that they reduce the number of fouls that they're committing. I'm not sure exactly what, because some of these are actually tactical fouls, just to ensure that they're able to keep a hold on this game.
Do you think in this game it's about maybe holding Portugal for as long as you can, and then you hope that the frustration sort of like weighs in? Mm-hmm. You hope that, you know what, you've got players who are conditioned, who are able to do a job. We saw Saudi Arabia do the same thing, Japan do the same thing, where they suddenly up the intensity in the second half, and the better teams couldn't leave with them.
Yeah, and this is one of those grinded out type of wins, I think, and one of the ways you can make it that attritional is to ensure that you hold in that first half, and in the second half make sure that you come at them as hard as possible. We've seen Ghana playing on the break just now, and those players are mighty quick. If they're able to do that in the second half, they could get a goal here.
Alright, so send us your predictions, guys. I know it's 35 minutes played just so far. Can Ghana win? First of all, can they get the first goal for Africa? That is a starting point. Timbo Go is out. We'll celebrate all goal border because there have been no goals for any of the teams representing the African continent so far. This is the fifth match and it's in the 35th minute and still there are no goals. Can Ghana break that duck? Send us your thoughts on 0731 168-045. That is our WhatsApp number, 0731-168-045. As Portugal continue to press, continue to attack, and continue to try and put the balls into the box there, of course, with the hope that they'll be able to get something, a snapshot there coming in from the Portuguese attack at the edge of the area, and Ghana launch an attack off their own. So very interesting match this one, but you've got to say that Portugal do have the upper hand with Ghana playing on the break and on the counter-attack. So it's set up very nicely as Ghana win a corner kick, and this will be one of the few times that we are seeing them, sort of like in the last 5-10 minutes in the Portugal 18 area.
That's what I was thinking about. Like, we haven't seen this side of the field in an incredibly long time. I think the goalkeeper was actually out at tea there.
Yeah, are you impressed with the level of support as well, Chris? Because a lot of Ghanaian guys who are in that crowd. I know, of course, Portugal, there are a lot of Portuguese guys, and of course, the guys who have come into the stadium, the local fans and other neutral fans. But I've been impressed with the stadium attendances so far.
I think when you're taking a look at especially the African fans, especially in these games, we have a lot of African fans that are coming out, and it's very evident in that stadium. And maybe just due to some planning, and also if you've got a nation that's playing in the World Cup, what an opportunity, especially in a place like Qatar, in terms of accessibility for Africa, probably one of the best locations.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you were Minister of Sport, would you be chartering planes for local fans if Zimbabwe was at the World Cup?
Absolutely, subsidize those flights. I think it's very easy to come up with some of these solutions, ensure that their package is there, work with local international travel agents to ensure that you make it as easy as possible for someone who wants to go and support at the World Cup to go. That crowd impact, I think, can't be underrated, especially in these tournaments. I think we saw it against when Zimbabwe was out in Australia. Yes. Just having that huge crowd of home support.
They were like 80, 100, 120, and as long as they're making noise, you know.
Yes, and we know Zimbabwean fans will sing.
Yeah. Well, Ghana get their second corner kick in quick succession. It's put in a very dangerous area there. At least they're sort of like trying to transfer the pressure on the Portugal team. And so it's now 38 minutes played in that game, and it's goalless. Can Ghana score? Send us your messages. Now, let's take a look back at last night's action. Belgium coach Roberto Martinez was happy with what he called a deserved 1-0 win over Canada in a World Cup match he described as the worst technical performance of his six-year tenure. After Argentina and Germany lost their opening games, Belgium came close to suffering another major upset, but the team will finish third at the 2018 World Cup in Russia, topped the group by 2 points from Croatia and Morocco. Let's hear from Roberto Martinez.
Canada deserve to be better than us in the way that they approach their performance, but at the end I thought that the result reflects a little bit the things that we had to do and the way we defended for each other and the way that we took the chance.
And they dodged a bullet here, Chris.
Yeah.
If you take a look at Canada, the way they went about their business, my goodness, they played well. They even got a penalty, missed that penalty. You don't miss penalties when you're playing teams like Belgium.
Yeah.
But for Belgium, they'll be happy that even after that performance, which he's described as the worst technical performance, they have 3 points on the board.
Yeah, they've managed to sneak one in. I think when you're taking a look at these points, they managed to get some points that I don't think, when you're taking a look at the balance of this game, that they necessarily were justified to walk away with. I think this is a lucky win for Belgium, and I think in the next game, they won't necessarily have the kind of luck that they had in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there was another game played last night, and we were talking about it here. We left, I think it was 3-0.
Yeah.
At halftime, and by the end of the game, it was 7-0 to Spain. A lot of the criticism around Spain, Chris, was that where were the goals going to come from?
Yeah,
well, seven of them came last night, didn't they?
They really showed us. I think a lot of the criticism of the Spanish team was just that there was no arrowhead. Who were the goals going to come from? But spread of goals, seven of them, and I think it was a goal every 10 minutes while we were in the studio, managed to pretty much continue on the same trajectory throughout the game. So very emphatic performance. But I think one of the things that could be problematic here is when you get that kind of glut of goals in the first game, you could become overconfident in the second and games after that as well. So they do have to keep their Chris, feet on the ground.
Seeing that they were being criticized for goals, doesn't this give them confidence instead?
It gives them confidence, yes. But you know what? 3 goals would have given them confidence. 7 is a little more than confidence, I would think.
I think maybe we have been underestimating how good these guys are.
Potentially. Yeah. The Spanish side, I think, might have been underrated. But also, when you're taking a look at their opposition, it wasn't necessarily the team.
But it's not a 7-0 team, though.
It's not a 7-0.
I think 3-0 versus Costa Rica would have been a good result.
For sure. Would have been a good result. Would have been able to ensure that they get that confidence in terms of their goal-scoring capacity going into that next game. And it's exactly because of that reason that coming against Costa Rica and scoring 7 goals was not necessarily going to be easy, but they've managed to do it. I'm sure they're floating right now.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. As Portugal attack here, and they fail to send the ball in the box, and Ghana defending with numbers in their box. I mean, at the moment, I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sort of like almost like a back six,
yeah.
2 or 3 sitting in front of them as that ball, of course, is crossed. And, right. It's getting interesting here, and Ronaldo tried to latch onto that one at the far post there, but it's been so far he's kind of a very frustrated figure.
Yeah.
Isn't that he wants it too much, especially after the controversy that has happened, him being sort of like dismissed from Manchester United, and then he was fined by the FA and also given a ban. He's trying to show everyone that, hey, I'm still this top striker. I'm still possibly one of the best players in the world.
He's too desperate for it at this point. He's absolutely desperate. You can see it in his reactions to some of the decisions being made by the referee. You can see it in the way that he's responding, the force of which he's playing. He's overdoing it at this point.
Now, you of course are into PR, marketing, etc. I just want to ask this, because we never did ask this. In terms of timing, when would you have dropped the interview? Pre or
post
the World Cup?
Post the World Cup. Definitely post World Cup, because I think the World Cup, if he had gone into the World Cup without the pressure of that interview, potentially could have performed better, potentially could have scored some incredible goals.
It might have even added more weight to the interview.
Exactly. So now it adds credence to his argument. But what happened was actually the reverse. Now he goes into the tournament under a lot of pressure, and with people saying, you know what, this is a person taking up space. I think even when you're taking a look at this Portugal team, is he necessarily a key figure to be starting this game? Maybe, maybe not, when you're taking a look at the goals that he can produce.
I mean, if you consider the fact that I think Rafael Leao is on the bench, and he's not even starting, and he's been arguably the best player in Serie A, and one of the leading lights in European football, and Portugal, of course, is having to make certain decisions to accommodate him. Imagine if Diogo Jota had been there as well.
It's incredibly annoying, I think, when you're taking a look at the players who might be looking at this situation in terms of what they could have contributed if they didn't have to wait for grandpa to, you know, be potentially subbed off. But again, do you start Ronaldo and then pull him off? And again, he's a frustrated figure. So it's a tricky conundrum, I think, for any manager who has to work with Cristiano Ronaldo. He's not a figure you can bench, but at the same time, does he contribute in terms of output? What would you do, Mike?
Well, to be honest, I think in terms of the interview, I agree with you. I would have had the interview done, or at least released it after.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, if he had then gone on to perform at the World Cup, he then would have had that weight of performance. He'd have had a bit more authority in the things that you're saying. I think one of the problems that happened, sort of like where a lot of people looked at it skeptically, even Manchester United fans, was the fact that, listen, dude, you haven't exactly given us much this season, and yet you're talking yourself up like this big performer.
Yeah.
You've been given chances and you've blown those chances. You haven't exactly sparkled. So I think he could have waited, and then had he sort of like also flopped at the World Cup, then he just wouldn't have released the interview.
Yeah.
He'd have just kept mum and tried to get out of Manchester United in a diplomatic way. But you know what? Hindsight is, as they say, is what? The perfect science.
And in terms of the World Cup, bench Ronaldo?
It's difficult. I think once you select him and he goes, I think he then potentially does the same thing to Portugal that he did to United, which he then becomes a very toxic presence in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Because I can't see Ronaldo at a World Cup, which he recognizes as possibly his last, accepting a bench role. accepting absolutely to be on the bench and just to be a cheerleader, mm-hmm. I think you'd have been sulking.
Completely.
Yeah.
Making faces.
Yeah, you'd have been you'd have been that thing. Okay, guys, right, more messages are coming in. So if you want to contribute to our conversations, do so on 0731-168-045. Now, Africa was in action earlier today, and it was Cameroon, but they failed to score, and they were on the receiving end of a solitary goal from Switzerland.
As the stars shoot across the desert sky, the lions roar, and the eagles swoop. Africa, we hunt as one.
While the lion failed to roar this afternoon as a second half strike from Breel Imbolo fired Switzerland to a narrow 1-0 victory over Cameroon in the World Cup opener, as the indomitable Lions suffered an eighth straight defeat in the competition dating back to 2002. Imbolo, who was born in Cameroon's capital Yaoundé but raised in Basel, is representing the Swiss at his second World Cup, having received citizenship in 2014. And I say this with a straight face. We've talked about this guy, Chris, the thrust that he brings, the penetration in attack, and no surprises that he scored.
Absolutely. When you're taking a look at the delivery, I don't think we ever expected that he would come to the World Cup and not sparkle, and yeah, he's definitely done that. It's just, I think when you're taking a look at some of these players, especially in this game, where this is someone who was born in Cameroon, and unfortunately now he's playing lost, and it's something that Africa, I'm not sure what we're going to do about it when you're taking a look at just the amount of Africans in the diaspora, but I think Breel Imbolo definitely making huge impact for Switzerland.
I think we need to do more in terms of, I know people talk about you know what, development, facilities, but I feel like facilities alone are not enough.
No.
We've got to be able to pay more.
Yes.
We've got to be able to pay better, because I think part of the attraction of going to bigger leagues, going to Europe, or even a lot of our African players who are playing in the Middle East, for example, and the Far East.
The pay package.
It's about the pay package. It's the fact that I'm going to get a lot of money, and I'll be able to meet my needs and meet my family's needs and meet my community's needs. And when you take a look at, there just may be 4 or 5 leagues in Africa that give you a decent pay package. You're taking a look at the North African nations, and then quite possibly South Africa.
Yeah.
The rest of us, I mean, in Zimbabwe, we're talking about $300, $400, $500.
It's a pittance when you're taking a look at what someone could be making globally. And it's something that we're, I'm not sure if it's the corporate investment, if it's ensuring that our sport is truly a business, to make sure that these players can get the similar pay, at least close enough, that staying at home is an attraction. I think when we're taking a look at Africa, we often forget that the playing years are very few for footballers. Mm. Footballers at best get 10 to 15 years in which they can make what's supposed to sustain them for a lifetime.
At a pension.
Once you're done playing, you are done playing if there were no investments made. And this, it always circles back to that argument that people make to say, oh, no, footballers blow their money. Especially in Zimbabwe, no, they don't. They just don't make enough to sustain a lifestyle after, any kind of decent lifestyle, after they stop playing.
Yeah, and going back to the football, Cameroon, they looked decent in past, but on the whole, I think they looked disappointing. And for me, what concerns me is that we have seen the pictures of Samuel Eto'o at the training ground. You know, he's lacing up his boots, he's getting involved with the team, he's playing, he's coaching. Come on, I know you're a legend, I know you play for Chelsea, you play for Barca, you play for Inter, you won things with Cameroon, but you know what, get off the damn field, man.
If he wanted to, I think he's in the wrong role. If you are president
coach
of the, yes, go be a coach, go be the coach of the national team, because as president of the footballers, I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere globally where you're going to lace up your boots and join in training. That absolutely doesn't happen. And I think what then happens is that you neglect what are your core duties and responsibilities as a football association president, and someone else has to potentially carry that load if it's done at all. And I think it also just disturbs the harmony in the technical
team
itself.
It's not like these guys don't enjoy seeing you there
all the time. Because imagine a legend also just, you know, watching over your shoulder as you're working consistently. And I don't think Samuel Eto'o is necessarily the kind of person.
You've met him before.
I've met him before.
And he's not exactly your speak to you nicely type guy.
No,
I mean,
not
he's
at
very
all.
Cocky.
very incredibly
arrogant.
Cocky, moves around with a huge entourage. I don't think anyone is telling Samuel Eto'o, hey, listen, bro, what you need to be doing is the ceremonial stuff.
And so the independence of the coach again is
he has none.
Into
he has none.
He probably
the
has
person
none.
Coaching this team is Samuel Eto'o. I'm pretty sure he sits there with the coach to tell him, you know what, and probably has a recommendation to say, these are the things that I would, if I were you, this is how I'd set up this team. Truthfully, we should not be seeing the images that we're seeing coming out of this World Cup from Cameroon.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, in the other game that was played at the 3 o'clock kickoff, it was a goalless draw between Uruguay and South Korea in Group H. So, meaning those two teams have got 1 point. In the other game in that group, it's being played right now. And of course, it is Portugal who are taking on Ghana. It's just gone to half time and it remains goalless in that game.
CFM Stereo is untouchable. Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
Right, let's go to our messages here. Good evening, team. African teams have to change their approach. Seems we are happy to get a point even when they're likely ones to score. Good example being the Morocco versus Croatia match. That is Erie from Bulawayo. I think no one ever settles for a point, Chris, but they just lacked that sharpness in goal.
Yeah, when you're taking a look at the African teams especially, I think they're at this World Cup to prove, first of all, that they can make it among the best. And you have to score goals in a tournament. So it's, I think, potentially more the style that we employ because of the resources at our disposal and just the way that we are set up that potentially, yes, you can say, does not aid us sometimes.
Right, and you guys are just a CR7 haters, period. And my question to you is, are you watching him play right now? Are you watching him?
I don't think he's watching.
Are you watching him? You know what? Let's take off these rose-colored spectacles when we watch our players. You know, even me, I've come to the, and I'm now comfortable with the fact that Messi is going to have bad games.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
happy with that. I'm very happy with it because you know what? He is 35 years old, yes. guys. At 35, when Zidane, Nana Henry, Van Gaal are retired.
They were done playing. Yes. I think my favorite thing is to always look at pictures of Wayne Rooney, who is the same age
yes.
as Cristiano Ronaldo, who is still playing, and other players have transitioned into various other careers, next stage of their life. And you know what? It's not to say that Cristiano Ronaldo is not one of the best players the world has ever seen.
Yes.
He is no longer the player that he was
and
10,
the
15 years
there's
ago.
There's the highlights. You see, that chance that was played through to him on goal, one-on-one with the keeper. Ronaldo would have latched onto that and scored that. But did you see the first touch? The first touch, okay? Look at that. He fails to control the
fumble.
That's just, guys, a function of age.
Yes.
Your brain tells you one thing, and your mind. We saw it with Messi versus Saudi Arabia, where he was trying, you know, to almost activate, where to get the ball, run with the ball, run through defenses, dribble past players. But as Ichangoite, you've got to use your mind a lot more now.
It just happens. It's a function of age. And again, it does not take away from what he's done before. Even at other World Cups, we've seen Cristiano Ronaldo make absolutely brilliant performances. Is it happening right now? No.
Yeah, Hans, hi guys, watch out for Breel Imbolo. Hans, real Imbolo of Australia. He's a marvel. Ramsey, really?
No.
No, there's no real Imbolo of Australia. There's Breel of Switzerland.
Of Australia.
No, Australia, no. Come on, Ramsey. Stop joking around. Good evening, guys. Hans, your analysis of Ronaldo's situation is very imbalanced. How? You know what, guys?
No, but give us the other side.
Yeah, give us
the other side.
So
if it's imbalanced, you're
challenge
part of the
guy.
Conversation.
Send us a message that that is more than just what we are imbalanced in. What will know something, especially also based on the game that you're watching right now.
Give us your analysis.
And give us your take on how you think, you know what, he makes Portugal better. He would have made Manchester United better, etc. Messages are coming in. Ronaldo apira sake, bitter pill to swallow, but it is what it is.
It is what it is,
yeah.
guys.
And your choice of words, thrust and penetration. And you've got to say, I mean, they make sense as far as Imbolo is concerned, isn't it, Chris?
Michael.
No.
I'm a professional.
We're talking football here, Chris. To the pure, all things are pure.
I'm not a Puritan at all.
Anzi, okay, let's move on from that one. Anzi, vana jota vano gara panze. Ne interview iyoyo, anzi, akuto vana magogos kudarika mbuzi yenyu. Jota plays for Portugal, my friend. In fact, you see, a lot of people actually don't follow Portugal.
Yeah.
So, it was always, you find out that Bruno Fernandes actually was the guy who was missing out on selection quite regularly,
yes,
for Portugal. But Diogo Jota actually plays next to Ronaldo in attack for Portugal. And Diogo Jota actually does score. So again, it's got really nothing to do with like a Jota versus Ronaldo. We're just saying that with the options that are there,
yeah,
I feel like Portugal has got younger players that are really hungry. They've never won things,
mm-hmm,
and are able to trouble this Ghana side. Because this Ghana side, yeah, you're going to need a bit of pace to break the lines,
yeah,
to get behind them. And it seems to me that the Ghana defense seems quite comfortable,
yeah,
dealing with Ronaldo's pace.
That's exactly what we've seen pretty much across this first half, is he's not troubling them at all like he used to. And when you're taking a look at how they're going to come into that second half, again, are you going to bench Ronaldo for a player who's able to break those lines? Potentially not.
I don't think so. Hillary Ngube in Bulawayo, Hillside says, good evening, sports team. So happy that my Brazil plays tonight. And I foresee a 3-0 win for the Samba boys. Yeah, I can't see anything. You know, I think Brazil, they got the talent. They got the talent. I mean, they just look good. So
aren't
I'm expecting
you a Brazil fan?
Huh?
Aren't you a Brazil fan?
No, I'm not. I think everyone sort of like likes Brazil, but I'm not a Brazil fan. I've never been a Brazil fan. I'm an Argentina fan,
okay,
from the Maradona days. So I just like Argentina. Italy is my team, actually.
Really?
But they're not at the World Cup.
Wow.
Yeah, Italy has always been my team.
That.
Yeah. So I've decided I'll support Spain this time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll support Spain.
I mean, 7-0.
Yeah. It's an easy one, isn't it?
It's
a guys, for Cameroon, Song is not yet the best coach like he was a player. Why not go all out when you are down? Aboubakar, Ekambi and Chipo Mutong up front. Do they have anything to lose, really? Switzerland closed the middle. Why not use the wings effectively after that? Tactics, he's not yet up there, to be honest. Maybe I'm wrong. And I think I read it the same as you. You don't tell us your name, but that's it. I mean, there was no desperation from Cameroon. They took out Chipo Mutong. How do you take out a form striker like Chipo Mutong when you are chasing a goal? I think they should have tried to just bash that door down, and it would have been at least, you know, at least lose 2-0.
Yeah.
But at least lose trying to do something.
Chance,
yourself a chance to think. And then tomorrow, guys, we're going to be asking you up for your wow moment. So think about it overnight. What has been your wow moment from the first week of the World Cup tournament? We still got like, what, 60 seconds? Chris and Brazil is in action tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can't see anything beyond the Brazil.
Brazil win. But we can't agree, because when we agree in the studio, things go wrong. It's the ZFM sport curse. It is what it is.
Can I prove something to you? This message has come in. And so you are saying the reason why Portugal is failing to score is merely because of, no one said that
at all. We asked for people to give us the other side. No one is giving us the other side. What is this other side?
People love just drawing conclusions. Who said that it's Ronaldo's presence?
No.
We are just saying that, you know what? They could have a younger, faster team if he wasn't there, if he wasn't a center, or if he wasn't a must pick. And he's not a bad pick.
He's not a bad pick.
He's at the World Cup tournament, so play him. You've got to play him.
Yeah.
If he's there, he's got to play. It could only have worked if they dropped him entirely.
Yes. I think coming with him to the World Cup already means that he's up for selection, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that.
Right. Maybe we'll read a couple more messages here. And the people should look at Spain. They had youngsters, and look at the result. CR7 had his time, but Zunjese Zinema Gumo. That message has come in. This one says, I think all African teams won't survive the first round. We struggle to score, are set up to defend and concede soft goals. I think Morocco, though, probably at the better of the exchanges versus Croatia.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, time has run out, guys. We'll be back tomorrow, 6:05, as we build up to the weekend action at Qatar 22, and of course other action. There's a big rugby match between England and the Springboks. We'll be previewing that. Barry and Aloy should be back in the studio.
And it's Messi. It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners. of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behavior.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Muddled, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are the team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.